in which that we really haven't really gotten the chance to like delve into. And I want to do my best to do that later in the 10 o'clock hour. And it's now 10 a.m. in the East Coast, 7 a.m. on the West Coast. Good morning to you wherever you may be. So while we wait for Mr. Matt Porter to call in the show, we're going to continue on for right now. And we're going to continue talking about the Red Sox as it relates to the scandal and what could be next. I do wonder exactly why is it that for whatever reason, the Globe really hasn't, and even when I go on the website, I'm like, wow. You could see that the front headline, in the very least, it's nothing relates to the scandal. Maybe the actual copy of it, of the Boston Globe, perhaps, maybe. And there's something interesting that I feel that I'm glad that the columnist, as it once pertains to both Chris Gasper and Dan Shaughnessy, they were very blunt in their assessment, and I really appreciate that. And I'm glad that they... and it's one of those things where, for example, the fact that they went on to call Cora an extreme talent, quote unquote, and they seemed to be regretful about the events leading up to the manager's removal. I mean, I think you should, if we're going to be completely honest. And I couldn't help but wonder, when we sit here and we look at what this team and what the organization had to do, I had been very, very adamant off the air that they had to let him go. There's nothing else to talk about, you know? And ultimately, they ended up making the right decision. And I feel that it's the right decision based on the findings in the commissioner's report and the investigation done by MLB. They didn't have a choice. And more than anything else, the press conference was really more of a testimonial to Cora. It wasn't a bashing. It really wasn't a heavy criticism. It wasn't any criticism really at all. And ultimately, one of the things that stood out to me in that press conference was they seem to be really high on the guy, and he seems like a pretty stand-up guy. I'll be very honest. However, when asked whether they felt that Cora should manage again, they failed to answer that with a direct yes or no. They didn't even answer the question. Forget to just a yes or no. They didn't even answer it. And I'm amazed. I'm really amazed. And ultimately, I really just feel, and I hope that the Red Sox ultimately like what ends up happening is that I just got a message actually. Yeah. So as I was saying, I got a little distracted. But anyway. Man, they're hoping that ultimately that they have to, for example, it looks like that is him calling. Give me one moment.
Hits the goaltender, right? You know, if somebody jumps the guy and, you know, they make him pay for it and, you know, you'll never do that again. But they didn't really see it at the time. I think there were only a few Bruins on the bench who really saw it, even if they, you know, and they may not even have seen it totally. They just kind of saw Tuukka go down. But then after the first period, they all saw the replay. They come out in the second period. There are four guys that tried to get him to go. And, you know, they were, Brandon Carlo was probably the most prominent of those. He was, you know, cross-checking him in the back and he was asking him. And I asked Brandon Carlo afterwards, you know, what did he say to you? He said, I'm not doing it. I'm not going. So the kid didn't want to fight. And if you spend half the period, you know, half the second period trying to get him to fight and he doesn't go, well, then kind of, you know, what are you supposed to do there? You can go fight somebody else, which didn't happen, which, you know, maybe you can charge the Bruins with a little bit of, you know, lack of retaliation there, but, you know, there is a certain point where you got to play hockey, and they were already down 1-0. So to take a really bad penalty, you know, to put yourself down, you know, by five, you know, for a 5 minute penalty kill or, you know, a double minor or something. I mean, even one penalty kill is going to be tough. So you're kind of playing with fire a little bit there. I think they did enough. They got back to playing hockey, but you really would like to see them do something in the moment. You'd like to see somebody drop the gloves. And really, overall, you'd like to see a tougher Bruins team, you know, at 5-on-5, you know, kind of being heavier and more aggressive on the puck, getting to the net more. That's kind of what I'd like to see rather than, you know, going after a 20-year-old, you know, rookie from Sweden with two penalty minutes in his life.
And you make a good point in terms of, like, in terms of the toughness on 5-on-5, and which really leads me to the next thing I want to ask you, and I've talked about this on the show before, as being one of the major concerns I've had for this team in terms of this season. They have now blown, at least three or four games, three plus goal leads in games, late in games, and in the game against Philadelphia where they were up 5-2, the thing that stood out to me was they were not aggressive in their own zone defending in front of the net. And my question to you is, why do you think that is the case in terms of the Bruins' inability to protect three goal leads late in games, as this has been a recurring theme with this team this season?
Yeah, it has. And that game was to me the most embarrassing loss for them since they blew a 4-goal lead against Florida. And
yes.
You know, they lost in a shootout, and that was, I believe that was this November 12th. So that's November. That's back then you're saying, all right, well, this is a wake-up call. This is something where, you know, we really got to get it together. And then this is, like, the Bruins in interviews, if you talk to them about holding leads and stuff, they would reference that Florida game for like a month afterwards, you know, where they said, you know, we remember what happened against Florida, and we don't want that to happen again. So I don't know if they just forgot about that, and then maybe this is like their new reference point or something, but you just can't allow that to happen. And they have this habit now of, you know, taking the, you know, as we call it, the loser point, you know, and getting to overtime. And you know, they have more overtime and shootout losses than anybody in the league. I mean, they have 12, and it's not even close. And that's allowed them to stay at the top of the standings, but it kind of does make you wonder if, you know, they're a bit of a paper tiger there, if they're kind of, you know, a little bit more lightweight than their record, you know, makes it seem.
And even yesterday, as I was looking through the standings again, and like they right now being third in the league, and I said very bluntly on the air that this is a team that I don't even feel most confident if the playoffs were to start tomorrow, just for the simple fact that yes, they're third in the league right now. But for what I'm seeing in terms of the 5-on-5 play, especially the secondary scoring, it still leaves me very concerned. So my question to you is, the trade deadline is next month. And the Bruins, I'm sure they have to be thinking that, one, they need some sort of toughness, but more importantly, they need secondary scoring. So what are a couple of guys that you think that the Bruins may have in mind in terms of going out and making a trade for?
Well, I think they've identified Charlie Coyle as their third line center. I think they want him there. And, you know, really there's a question, at least in my mind, in talking with people around the team a month ago, you know, of, oh, well, maybe he can be our right wing on the number two line with David Krejci. Maybe we can just go out and get a third line center. Maybe that's a better play. That could still happen. But I think they like him there right now. Whether that changes over the next few weeks, I don't know. I think you have to be looking at a bigger, tougher right wing who can score. Yeah, it probably should be a right shot if you're going to leave Charlie Coyle, who is a right shot, in the number three center hole. So those guys aren't easy to find. That's the problem. I mean, you have a lot of guys who happen to be left shots that are seemingly available on the market. Guys that are right shots who are, you know, kind of that mid-age, you know, not too old, not too young. You're talking 26, 27, 28. Maybe you want a guy who's a rental. Maybe you want a guy who has term left. Either way, it's not going to come cheap. And I'm thinking of guys like, you know, really the only guy that comes to mind who would be cost-effective, who is there for the Bruins right now, would be Tyler Toffoli of Los Angeles. He's a, you know, I think he's 27 or 28. He's somebody that the Bruins have looked at the last few years. And he has... He's an unrestricted free agent after this year, so you can kind of get him cheap for maybe a pick or something. The Bruins know that they can deal for this guy. It was reported by one of the national reporters up in Canada. They actually had a deal in their back pocket for him. They know they can get him. But I think they might look a little bit higher. They know that this core that they have with Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci, Tuukka Rask, certainly Zdeno Chara, these guys are getting older, and you're not going to have this mix when these guys leave, especially Bergeron and Krejci, your number one and number two centers. Those are really good players, and you need to maximize their window to win here. So I think if they can take a big swing here and, you know, get some prospects and some picks and go for a guy like Chris Kreider of the Rangers, who happens to be a left shot, and I think they can make it work with him on the right side, I think they would do it. And I think Don Sweeney knows that. Cam Neely, I've spoken with him before about this as well, that you have to maximize the window for these guys. So I think if there's a big move to be made that's not going to absolutely decimate their farm system, I think they'll make it.
We were talking with Matthew Porter, writer for the Boston Globe, covers the Boston Bruins here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. I know you got to go. I just want to ask you one quick question. Tonight, they're home against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sidney Crosby just returned the other night and had a five-point night. In his return, what are a couple of things that you're going to be looking for in terms of this team bouncing back from two really tough losses on the road in back-to-back games against Philadelphia and Columbus?
I think they'll be good at home. They're always good at home. And, you know, as a coach, you can get the matchups that you want there. You have last change. So I think you'll probably see if the fourth line is going, they'll be asked to go take on either Crosby or the Malkin line, depending on how the Penguins line up. So that's one thing. You need your checkers to be checking well, and hopefully that power play can get going. I mean, that's they broke a 14-game streak with a power play goal last game. They didn't score. They were shut out for the first time all year. So, you know, the offense in general needs to get going, but certainly for the Bruins, it all starts with the power play, which is an excellent one, and keep skating and try to draw a penalty and see where you're at.
Thank you so much for taking the little bit of time you had this morning to call into the show. Always appreciate it. Look forward to having you back on real soon.
All right, sounds good. Thanks. Take care.
Thank you so much. That was Matt Porter of the Boston Globe, who joined us live on the Strictly Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Bruins tonight as they have their game against the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight at the Garden. You're listening to the Strictly Right Show, and this is Strictly Right, so you're listening to 91.5 FM. WMFO, Medford, Tufts Free Farm Radio.
Oh yeah.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Now, at 11 a.m., we're going to have Zach Medeiros, who's going to call into the show as always. As mentioned, we're going to talk NFL playoffs, look back on the weekend that was. And we got a lot to talk about. I look forward to spending the 11 o'clock hours talking to him about the NFL playoffs and so forth. Call into the show as always. 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And we just had Matt Porter of the Boston Globe, Bruins writer and aficionado. Definitely a great interview, although it was a little short, but still great talk with him and so forth. So definitely look forward to speaking furthermore about the Bruins in the future and so forth. It's gonna be definitely good and whatnot. But we're gonna take another break again, another music break and so forth. But again, when we return, we're gonna talk furthermore about the Bruins, and so forth. And it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good, and it's gonna have an interesting matchup tonight at home against the Penguins. Especially considering the back-to-back losses that they've had, especially considering all things and so forth. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned. It's going to be good. So I want to take you directly to the new song that I have up for you guys. And that is Earth, Wind & Fire, Let's Groove. Show. Here's the hope in the Bruins actually get the groove back tonight. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Tufts Sweet Farm Radio. Let's take some time here to do the PSA and the station identification while we're within the hour. This is 91.5 FM, WMFO.
Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
There's something very dangerous in your home. It could be hiding in a closet or waiting in the basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item.
Hey, hon, do me a favor and hold the ladder for me.
I have a better idea. Let's just call somebody to clean the gutters.
To scoop out a few leaves? I'll be down in a heartbeat. Whoa! Ow!
No!
Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org, a public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep your bones safe, strong, and well-connected.
The PSA, the interstation identification brought to you by yours truly, 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Now, Zach Medeiros will join us in about 30 minutes. We're going to talk some Bruins right now in the meanwhile. It's been a lot. I'm not going to lie. It's been a lot talking about, you know, like the whole cheating scandal and so forth, because there's so many takes out there. There's so much out there in terms of, like, the writing and so forth. And the one thing I definitely want to point out is this. If you are one, for example, who is really passionate about this, and passionate about talking about, you know, like, such topics on the air and so forth, and I gotta tell you, this is the time to do it, because it's just so fresh. It's such a hot topic right now here in Boston, as the Red Sox are currently basically without a manager. They have no manager now. And, you know, the reality is, this only adds to the long list of questions that this 2020 Boston Red Sox team had going into the season. So that's definitely something that's going to be interesting to watch. So with that being said, the Bruins are home tonight. They're coming off back-to-back really just god-awful losses. And they're playing against the Pittsburgh Penguins team that now has their captain back in Sidney Crosby. As you may remember, he returned the other night, and he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good. So, with that being said, tonight it's actually going to be a busy night around the National Hockey League, including the Bruins. Obviously, as mentioned, Pittsburgh, Boston, 7 o'clock. You got Calgary, Toronto, 7 o'clock. You got the Kings and Panthers at 7. And then you have the Rangers and Islanders, 7 o'clock as well. Montreal, they're in Philadelphia tonight for 7 o'clock tip-off. Well, not tip-off, but puck drop. 7 o'clock Eastern start for the Devils and Capitals as well. You have the Carolina Hurricanes, they're on the road to take on the Columbus Blue Jackets at 7 as well. The Las Vegas Golden Knights, they're in Ottawa to take on the Senators at 7:30 puck drop as well. The Ducks, they're in Nashville to take on the Predators. That's an 8 o'clock puck drop as well. The Lightning, Wild, 8 o'clock. That's on NBCSN. That's nationally televised. Sabres and Stars, 8:30 puck drop as well. And yeah, it's San Jose at Colorado at 9 Eastern. tonight. And then also the 10 o'clock game, the only one tonight there is, the Coyotes, they're in Vancouver to play the Vancouver Canucks. So there's that. But as for the Boston Bruins, you have to begin to wonder, like, you know that they need, for example, you know that they need secondary scoring. As you heard Matt Porter say, you know, like, a Chris Kreider will be a good fit. And I think he really would be. I really do. But the cost will not be cheap. And I think if you're Don Sweeney, you have to come to a point where you have to be willing to make this move. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about this. Because ultimately, you want to be able to extend this cup window, right? With Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci, and so forth, correct? Then this is the kind of move you make. And I think that depending on what the Rangers situation is, this is the kind of move that you absolutely make. I mean, why not? Because at this point, you have to ask, like, yes, it would be a lot to give up, but considering the fact that what this team needs are, and the fact of the matter is that if you are the Bruins, you have to be thinking to yourself, if you want another long extended run and so forth, you need a guy that's going to help in terms of your top six forwards. And Kreider's that guy. Maybe even Tyler Toffoli. Just maybe. You never know. But the truth is, it's going to come at a cost. But what is that cost? Draft picks? One of your prospects? Or a couple of your prospects? So my question to Bruins fans is, do you see yourself making this type of deal if you're Don Sweeney? I say yes. Absolutely. And on top of that, with the trade deadline a month away, I got to ask this question. Because it's something that just came to mind, as a matter of fact. How do you feel about the Bruins' Stanley Cup chances currently, as it currently stands? How do you feel about it? Huh? Because the fact of the matter is this. They still have a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup, but as it was talked about, they need that toughness. They need it in the worst way. And I personally just don't think at all for one moment that if you are the Boston Bruins and you had what happened the other night, like, you can't continue to have other teams take liberties of, you know, taking shots at your best players. The thing is, ultimately, there's going to come a point where they're going to have to stand up for each other. And the fact that they just don't, I don't like that. I really don't. And it bothers me so much because this isn't the Boston Bruins that we're accustomed to. They stand up for each other. They defend one another. And it just feels like those days are gone. And it's sad. Like, it really is. You can call into the show as always at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I just wonder that at what point, if you're the Boston Bruins, do you pull the trigger? I hope it's soon. I really, really do. Because the Bruins, they're not simply put, they're not going to have this window open forever. It's going to close. I didn't think it closed with the Stanley Cup final loss to St. Louis last June. I don't. But I do think they have an opportunity again. They're one of the top three teams in the league right now, despite the issues and so forth. But, man, it's disheartening to even talk about this when we sit here and you look back on the losses in which they're blowing 3-goal leads. Awful. And you begin to really wonder and question the mental makeup of this team. Is this team really as mentally strong as we thought it was? I don't know. I really doubt it. I have my doubts. And that remains to be seen. And the only thing is, how far can this team really go? Because we're at a point now where they have played 48 games. Tonight's game will be 49. They're about to hit 50 games in the season with 32 games remaining. So the question that I would have for the Boston Bruins and for Bruins Nation is this. How do you honestly feel about this team right now? I want to hear your thoughts. You call into the show, as always, at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. But one thing that we do know is this. You know what you're going to get from your top line of Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak. And what Pastrnak has done has been nothing short of just amazing. That's just the truth. You know? However, the truth of the matter is this. There's a lot to be said in terms of the makeup of this team. And I'm not just talking about skill. It's more the mental fortitude as well as the physical fortitude. And it sucks. But in other news, the Boston Bruins announced yesterday that three players will be honored for their reaching respective career milestones coming up soon. So, Tuukka Rask, who played in his 500th career game, he'll be celebrated today, tonight's game, prior to the Bruins and Penguins game. And he's the 72nd goaltender in NHL history to reach 500, to appear in 500 games. And Halak, he also will be honored for playing in 500th career playoff game. But on Tuesday, January 21st, prior to the game against the Golden Knights. And Halak, he reached that milestone on December 3rd with a 2-0 shutout of the Carolina Hurricanes, and that made him the 74th goaltender in NHL history to appear in 500 career games. So, also in terms of Zdeno Chara, who played in career game his 1500th game, and as well as his 1000th game as a Bruin, he'll be honored in a pregame ceremony prior to the Bruins and Coyotes game on February 8th. And he's 18th all-time currently in all in games played. And he's just the sixth guy in Bruins history to play 1,000 games with Boston. So that's something that's going to be fascinating to watch and see what happens. So with that being said, we're going to step away for a few. And when we return, we're going to look furthermore into the Red Sox scandal and so forth and see if anything new has developed. And there's something here that I definitely think it's worth talking about. If you are... if you're following along in terms of the story and the situation, and we'll talk about furthermore coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
One night in a disco on the outskirts of Frisco, I was cruising with my favorite gang. The place was so boring, filled with out-of-towners touring. I knew that it wasn't my thing. I really wasn't caring, but I felt my eyes staring at a guy who stuck out in the crowd. He had the kind of body that would shame Adonis, and a face that would make any man proud. Oh, what wow, he's the greatest dancer. Champion of dance, his moves will put you in a trance, and he never leaves the disco alone. Arrogance but not conceit, as a man he's complete. My creme de la creme, please take me home. He wears the finest clothes, the best designers heaven knows. Ooh, from his head down to his toes. Halston, Gucci, Piarucci, like a steal, that man is dressed to kill. Oh, what the wow, he's the greatest dancer. Oh, what the wow, I've ever seen him. He's the greatest dancer. Oh, what the wow, ooh, ooh, wow. Oh, what the wow, yeah. He's the greatest dancer. Oh, what the wow.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio. Glad to be back. I'm here with you. I was just actually reading an article in the Boston Globe from Chris Gasper, and I'm actually going to share pieces of it with you that some things that he wrote that really stood out to me. And I wish I thought about this earlier, but it's better late than never, right? Fair enough. So, with that being said, there was an article that was written in the Boston Globe that by Chris Gasper. This was last night. It was published last night. And it started off a question that deserved an answer. And it's a really good one because I feel like more than anything, what the ownership group in the front office did, it really was more of, oh, let's just save face and try to save our cushy tails. And we deserve some kind of credit here. It was a sad day for us. Baloney. BS. Stop it. The first thing that Gasper wrote in his column was, quote, is it really doing the right thing when you don't have a choice? No, it's not. Great question. Here's your answer. No, it's not. It's not doing the right thing when you don't have a choice. The thing that I really don't understand, especially with this ownership, is you came out trying to polish up the reputation, you know, not playfully, but, you know, say, you know what, he was tremendous for the organization, saying, spewing one of these wonderful things for the sake of damage control. I'd love to know how and what exactly did you accomplish by doing that? How did you accomplish that? To be honest with you, you didn't really accomplish much of anything. If anything, you had bring up more questions than answers. And the idea of we have to do what's right and what's best for the Red Sox organization, it's a bunch of crap. Allow me to explain here that you want to do what's best and what's right for someone when you don't have a choice? No. That's not doing what's right or what's best. We don't left with no choice. When you have a choice and you have options and you make the right decision ultimately, yes. But in this case, the man, he violated the integrity or whatever integrity that was left of the Red Sox organization. And Lord knows what more can possibly come from this. No one does. So with that being said, Gasper goes on to write, quote, In the column, no one deserves a pat on the back or an attaboy. There was no way Cora could have returned as Sox manager after being singled out as a bad news bench coach in the commissioner's report on the cheating Astros that led to the There was no way Cora could return as Sox manager after being singled out as the bad news bench coach in the commissioner's report on the cheating Astros that led to the season-long suspensions and subsequent fires of his former boss's manager, A.J. Hinch, and general manager, Jeff Lunau. The reality was compounded by the Sox facing allegations of sign stealing on Cora's watch during the 2018 World Series winning season. Those allegations of illicit use of replay review equipment mirror one of the sign-stealing measures MLB uncovered Cora supervising in Houston. So this here proves again to me that the Red Sox deserve no credit. They deserve no credit for yesterday. It's basically just a safe face. And frankly, I go as far as to call them straight up gutless bums. You have no sack. Yes, you had a choice. However, you were left with very little options because of his actions. You can't sit here and tell the media that it was a difficult decision. There was nothing difficult about making the right decision and doing what's right. But yet again, is it really doing what's right when that was the only choice? When he violated your trust? Aim for what was best for in terms of the integrity as a baseball man? No. So why are we sitting here giving him false applause, saying, you know, ultimately what yesterday looked like was an ultimate polishing of a damaged statue, if there was ever one to begin with. You know what? He's damaged good right now, so we're going to just butter him up. Oh, he was tremendous in the community. He's going to be missed in the clubhouse. Sure, because your number one source of cheating is gone. Sure he is going to be missed. But not for the reason that you think. So no, spare me the whole idea of he's going to be missed because he was a tremendous asset for the organization. Yeah. For a tainted championship. For a tainted championship, he was an asset for. Congratulations. Anyone who wants to sit here and tell me that, oh, by the way, the Red Sox 2018 championship, no, it's not tainted. Guess what? You're a fool. And I'm willing to debate with you on that very thing right now. I'm willing to debate that straight up. There is absolutely no way that anybody can sit here and say that after all that the cloud and the smoke and the dust settles, that the Boston Red Sox walks away as an organization unscathed. Let me help you get this in your head. The repercussions from all of this is going to be severe. Very severe, to the point